In October 2008, the British were just 2 hours away from being unable to withdraw money from their banks as the fallout from the collapse of Lehman Brothers in the US swept across the British banking system. So writes Alistair Darling, the UK's then Chancellor of the Exchequer, or the Treasurer, in his 2011 memoir. It recalled the momentous events that forced the then British Labour government to roll out a £50 billion rescue package that saw several banks part nationalised. Alistair Darling is currently in Australia. He says the Turnbull government is right to compel Australian banks to hold more capital to make sure that taxpayers are not on the hook again when the next financial crisis strikes, even if that means the cost of lending has to rise in the meantime. This, in fact, was a key recommendation of David Murray's Financial Systems Inquiry taken up by the federal government yesterday. Alistair Darling is speaking with our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell.
Alistair Darling, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Hello.
The Australian government has just endorsed recommendations of a major financial system inquiry here, calling on the major banks to build up larger financial reserves or capital ratios to basically carry more equity and less debt as a firewall against the next financial crisis. Now, as someone who had a front row seat, I guess, to the near collapse of the UK banking system in 2008, are higher capital ratios for the banks the key?
Yes. There's no doubt that in 2008, banks in general were undercapitalized. They had very little to fall back on, which is why when they came within hours of collapse, there was no alternative but for governments in the UK and the US and Europe to bail them out. Now, it's far better that they should make provision in advance. It's not the only thing they should do. One of the key things is to understand the risks to which they have become exposed, because certainly in 2008, a rather large number of them didn't fully understand what had gone wrong.
Well, indeed. Let's look at those risks. I mean, can a bank, from your experience, ever have enough, I guess, financial reserves to protect them against the sort of risky lending that got UK banks into so much trouble back in 2008?
Well, look, the thing about banking is if you lend somebody a pound, there's always a risk they're not going to repay it. So it's by its nature there's a risk there. I think the thing to understand about the UK banks is it wasn't just getting involved in some of the exotic financial products that were around at the time, which nobody really understood what they were. Or at least not at a senior enough level. But they also lost money through just straightforward bad judgment. You know, at a time when interest rates were very low in Europe generally, there was a huge property bubble built up. And, of course, when it crashed, banks lost an awful lot of money. So that's why I say you do need to have adequate capital. But at the same time, you've also got to better understand the risk to which you become exposed. I think the other thing that you have to accept, though, as well, if banks are holding more capital, it does have an impact on lending and the cost of lending, which I know has been an issue in Australia in the last week or so.
Just going back to your experience, though, you wrote in your memoir in 2011 that Britons were only 2 hours away from being unable to withdraw money from their banks. That was after the collapse of Lehman Brothers in the US, sort of spread across the Atlantic and threatened to bring down your big banks, including the Royal Bank of Scotland. That's when you rushed out a £50 billion emergency rescue package. Now, being so close to the abyss, I mean, how did that feel like at the time?
Well, I suppose it's the one and only really scary phone call I took from the chairman of RBS in October 2008, and they were hemorrhaging money, and we did have a rescue plan ready to go, and I said, look, how long can you last? And he said, well, maybe 2 or 3 hours. And that was, at that time, RBS was probably one of the biggest banks in the world. Now, I know full well what would have happened if people couldn't get their money out, the cash machines, the ATMs went off, doors were shut. The panic would spread to the other banks, not just in the UK, but I suspect right across the world. So that's what I meant when I said earlier, we can't afford to be in a position again where governments have no alternative but to find billions of pounds. By the way, most of it, and we've already got back, and we will get it all back, eventually.
Looking back, would you have done anything differently? I mean, as you said, you bailed out the banks by partly nationalising them, but it did leave the government at the time with a huge budget deficit that the current government is still struggling to reduce. It triggered arguably the worst recession in the UK's history, massive unemployment, collapse in house prices. Again, looking back, would you have done anything differently?
a banking crisis inevitably will produce an economic crisis, which is what you're referring to. Right across the world, actually, governments did the same thing. They put money into their economy to stop a recession becoming a depression. Now, obviously, when an economy slows down into a recession of the sort, your tax revenues drop, and therefore your deficits go up. Would I have done anything different? Well, you know, I think, you know, in terms of bailing out the banks, we had no alternative, and I say that money will all come back. In relation to the economy, my regret is that I think the approach of austerity generally has slowed down the recovery and certainly slowed down the ability to pay down debt because it's suppressed tax revenues.
Is there any lessons for Australia here? Because obviously Australia's banks like to see themselves as a bit of an oasis. I mean, they didn't need a bailout. In fact, they sailed through the GFC and got even bigger and stronger. Australia didn't fall into recession, although the Rudd Labor government at the time did roll out its own massive fiscal stimulus. So what can we learn, if anything, from the UK experience that might it be not to be too complacent?
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, you're right to say that the Australian banking system wasn't affected. But I think the key lesson, or one of the key lessons that I draw from what happened 7 years ago, is just how interconnected the banking system is. 20 years ago, if something went wrong in a small provincial bank somewhere in America, it was bad for that state. But they didn't really go much further than that. Whereas we now know, if you look at the what's known as the subprime mortgage crisis, where people were given mortgages which, frankly, they were never going to be able to repay, that problem spread right throughout the system. So I think the lesson is you can't be complacent. But, you know, I suppose a live issue here in Australia is your own independent experts are advising. You've just got to make sure you do pursue the right economic policies to make sure that you do actually reduce your debt, but you do it in a way that makes sure the economy continues to grow.
That's Alistair Darling, the former UK Chancellor of the Exchequer, speaking with our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell. And he's in Perth to deliver the Vice-Chancellor's oration at Edith Cowan University tonight. His speech is titled Back from the Brink, Saving Britain from Financial Chaos, Lessons from Australia.